Well, Jesus certainly upheld, taught, and loved God's law. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, and starting in verse 17. Let's see what Jesus said about the law. Matthew 5 and verse 17. He said, Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whosoever therefore will break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So contrary to some mainstream Christianity belief, Jesus did not come to do away with the law. But let's ask this question, what law? What law? What comes to mind when you think of God's law? Is it the Ten Commandments? Do the Ten Commandments comprise the entirety of, quote-unquote, God's law? Or is there more to it? We'll go back to the Old Testament, to Leviticus chapter 26, sometimes known as the blessing and cursing chapter, Leviticus 26. This certainly was applied to ancient Israel under the Old Covenant. And let's take a look and see what God says are needed for blessings. Start in verse 1. You shall make no idols or graven image. Okay, keep my Sabbaths in verse 2. Then in verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees yield her fruit. Verse 14, but if you will not listen to me and not do all these commandments, if you will despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so you will not do all my commandments, but you break my covenant, and then curses are pronounced. We even go towards the latter part of the chapter. And it ends, actually, verse 46. It says, these are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel, Mount Sinai, by the hand of Moses. So four times just in this chapter, what do we find? We find this term statutes. Now, is God's law only comprised of the Ten Commandments? Well, no. No, it's not. We have statutes. We have statutes. Today's sermon will be about the statutes of God, what they are, the purpose of them, and why many are still in effect, if not literally, then in principle. But let's do this. Let's go to Matthew 22, and let's first get the overview of God's law. What is the overarching point of God's law? Why was it given? Matthew 22, and verse 35, one lawyer asked Jesus a question, and he said, well, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hanged all the law and the prophets. So if you really want to think about a flow chart, you have the two pillars of God's law, which Jesus summarized here, right? Love of God and love of our fellow man. And then we say, well, what flows beneath that? Well, we could start certainly with the Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments. But we have to go further that, you know, you might say below the Ten Commandments on a flow chart would be the statutes of God, which would expand in more detail how to honor God and how to love our neighbor. Now, some might get the impression that the statutes were only for ancient Israel, and the Church of God can just simply ignore them. As we will see, that simply is not the case. Yes, the sacrifice of Jesus did supersede a number of statutes, no doubt, like those pertaining to sacrifices, right? All the animal sacrifices, Jesus became the sacrifice, right? Jesus is also our high priest, which superseded the Levitical priesthood. So all the things associated with the Levitical priesthood are not bound because Jesus becomes our high priest. We could also add that some of the statutes can only be kept where there is really a state government, a community of believers. You know, Israel was a nation. They were a theocracy. And they had laws governing, basic life, things like debt, things like that. The church is not a nation. We're not, we don't all live in Plainville, right? Does anyone live in Plainville? No. we come miles around and we meet here. So that's unfortunate that we're not a community, but that's the way it is. The Church of God is a spiritual organism, right? We're generally scattered geographically. So we, some of the laws, and we'll cover maybe a few of them, they can't apply to a church. They apply to Israel, which functioned as a literal nation, and God had specific statutes for them. But as we will see, a lot of statutes remain valid, and we can and we should observe them. Maybe you can think about it. What are some of the statutes that we observe today? What about tithing? Right? What about tithing? Tithing is not a Ten Commandment, right? It is not a Ten Commandment. But God's church believes it's still binding, that tithing is valid. As the book of Hebrews points out, the administration of tithing changed, and that's a whole different topic. But the statute of tithing is still in place. What about the holy days? They're not in the Ten Commandments, are they, right? The Sabbath is, right? Commandment number 4 is there, but, where's the Feast of Tabernacles? Where's the Feast of Trumpets? It's not in the Ten Commandments. But the statutes of the holy days are in the Old Testament. We know Leviticus 23. We know that, Jesus kept them, the early church kept them. So they're still around. They're still around with different meanings, but they're still around. And one more, clean and unclean food, right? We believe that that's a statute that is still there. It was not done away with, as some would teach, but that's still around. It still makes us different. It still makes us stand out as a separate people for God. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. And we're going to see one statute directly followed in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's start in verse 17. Paul is speaking here to Timothy. He said, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word of doctrine." Notice verse 18. "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his reward." Guess what he's quoting? He's quoting from the Old Testament, and those are statutes. And Paul is applying that in a spiritual way to the ministry. And he's certainly saying, hey, listen, the scripture says this. This is something, and certainly in principle, that should be followed. Now, Paul knew the statutes. He didn't think they went away somewhere. We also see 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We have a statement from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. He tells the Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? A union between a believer and unbeliever, Paul's like, that's not the way to go. You could say that the greatest, union is marriage, right? The church teaches you should marry another Christian, right? You should marry someone in God's church, right? That is practicing true Christianity. How could Paul say something like that? Where did he get those ideas? Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7 set the real principle through the statutes in terms of dealing with unbelievers. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1 says, when the Lord your God brings you into land where you go to possess it, and he'll cast out many nations, right? Verse 2, when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you will smite them, utterly destroy them. You will make no covenant with them. You will not show mercy to them. And notice verse 3, neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter shall not give to the son, nor the daughter shall you take to your son. And he talks about the reason in verse 4. They're following different gods. They have different religious beliefs. God's like, you are a holy nation. You can't do that. That's not acceptable. And that's why Paul talked about, not being yoked with unbelievers. That principle certainly carries forward into the New Testament. So overall, it's important that we don't neglect our reading and thinking about the statutes. And not only do many apply today, but they're going to be taught in the millennium. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel 44. Now, this is a chapter right in the midst of talking about the millennial temple that is going to be built when Christ returns. Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. It says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, cause them to discern between the unclean and unclean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes, and all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. So, we have teaching here about, Sabbath keeping, holy days in the millennium. This is a combination of the commandments as well as statutes, Chapter 6 of Ezekiel, chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. And so take a look at verse 16. Therefore it says, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I will be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. It's ultimately pointing to the ultimate restoration of Israel. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I'll even gather you from the people, assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered. I'll give you the land of Israel. And they will come there, and they will take away all the detestable things thereof and the abominations from there. I'll give them one heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of the flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Why? Verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be your God, their God. And we think about the new covenant, God's law is really placed within us, within our minds. We have literal applications of the Ten Commandments, like, you shall not, murder, right? But we know Jesus expanded on that and said, listen, You know, the real guts of this is, you know, not hating someone, not having a spirit of murder in your heart. You know, the expansion of the Ten Commandments. This will undoubtedly be taught when Christ returns. Chapter 36, one more chapter in Ezekiel, chapter 36. And verse 24. For I'll take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I'll sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I'll cleanse you. A new heart I'll give you. A new spirit I will put within you. And take away the stony heart of the flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and cause you again to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments, and you shall do them. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Were instructions back in the Old Testament regarding when the monarchy would get set up, how the king should operate. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 14. It said, when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you and shall possess it and dwell therein and shall say, I'll set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. You shall in any wise set him king over you, whom the Lord your God shall choose. One from among the brethren shall you set king over you. You may not set a stranger or foreigner, which is not your brother. It goes on to say that you shall not multiply horses, okay, or multiply wives, verse 17. Verse 18, it will be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes and do them. And certainly the books, the first five books, you know, spell out not just the Ten Commandments, but the statutes. And it says that his heart will not be lifted up. He will not turn from the commandments. So prolonging his days. As kings and priests in the millennium, you know, we will have to administer God's law. And it won't just be, you know, hey, just learn the Ten Commandments and you're okay, right? You know, there's more to it. There's deeper things. There's more details that come out. And we'll be responsible for teaching that to the nations. So it certainly is certainly profitable that we now get familiar with the statutes given to Israel. Again, if not it literally, then certainly the spirit of the statutes and the principles behind that. Because mankind's going to have to operate with laws with Christ coming back. Certainly Moses had to know as well as administer the statutes. Ezekiel, Exodus chapter 18. Book of Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18, and start in verse 13. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning to the evening. It's a long day, right? Long day. When Moses' father-in-law saw that he did to the people, he said, What are you doing, Moses? You're sitting there by yourself, and all the people are standing from you morning unto even. And it kind of reminds me of the old days in the Worldwide Church of God when you had a congregation of 400 or 500 people. After church, as I was saying, there was a line to the pastor. You know, people had questions. There were a lot of new people at that time. And usually, like, a deacon would, like, okay, you're number three, you're number four, whatever. You know, kind of line people up to talk to the minister, you know, get counseling and get some help. The saddest thing is when the minister, like, went away, it's like, oh, well, that, you know, I'll see him next week, or maybe I'll call him, whatever. In any event, Moses' father-in-law said, hey, this isn't working. This is not working. Verse 15, Moses said to his father-in-law, well, the people are coming to me to inquire of God. I'm trying to help them out. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So, you know, we get involved a little into judgments. You know, what are judgments? Well, judgments are, you know, decisions or binding decisions, not out of your opinion. Well, I think about there should be this. They have to be based on the laws that are already given and the statutes, and you're applying them to certain instances. That's exactly what Moses was doing. Verse 17, and Moses' father-in-law said, the thing that you're doing is not good. You're going to wear away you and the people that are with you for this thing. It's too heavy for you. You won't be able to do it alone. So listen to my voice, and I'm going to give you some counsel. God will be with you, and you can bring the causes to God. Verse 20, you shall teach them ordinances and laws. You'll show them the way that they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you will provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and rulers of ten. So he had a really good plan. There's a multitude of people. It's crazy that one guy should try to do this. And he's like, listen, you got to set up people. You train them, and then they can assist and maybe take the easier cases, you know, some of the no-brainer ones that sometimes people have questions about, and maybe reserve to yourself some of the real more difficult questions. But the point is, you're spreading things out, you'll get some help, and the people will be served. And verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge. It'll be easier for yourself, and they shall bear the burden with you. They'll bear the burden with you. If you do this thing God command you, so you shall be able to endure, and the people will go to the place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. It was the light bulb went on for Moses. Like, wow, thank you so much. This is going to work. And that's what he did. He chose men out of all Israel. He made them heads over the people. And verse 26, they judged the people. And his father-in-law, I'm sure, commended him and said, good job. Good job, Moses. So, Moses, one of the great personalities of the Old Testament, knew the statutes, taught them, and administered them. Very, very important for ancient Israel. What about King David? What did he have to say? Did he specifically talk about statutes? Well, let's go to Psalm 119, the very large Psalm 119, which is all about a praise of God and his law. Psalm 119. We see in verse 12, start there. Psalm 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Help me to understand the details of the law. I really want to know. This is King David, a man after God's own heart. Verse 26. I've declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Saying it again for emphasis. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. So, without a doubt, David wanted to know more of how God thinks and how he wants people to interact with one another. We also have to, for those of us that are parents, to pass along the principles of the statutes to our children. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And let's start in verse 5. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, so you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. They have great laws. They really work. They're good things. They're good things. For what nation is so great that God is so close to them as the Lord your God and all the things that we call upon him for? For what nation is so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself. Keep yourself diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen and depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons, your family. You know, you got to pass these things along. And that's really important as parents. I think some parents, maybe they hope that if their kids come to church, they're learning, you know, all the truth and they're learning all the things of Scripture. But as a parent, it's like that's not so. Things are learned through services, but you know, the best thing would be to teach them at home. You know, do a little Friday night Bible study with your children, you know, depending on their age, and start teaching them, the basic things. You know, why are we going to church today? You know, they need to teach about the Sabbath, the basic meaning of the holy days. Hey, why are we going to the feast? Oh, we're gonna have a great time. You know, we're gonna go crazy. You know, with fun. Well, the feast is not, you know, primarily about having fun, right? It's to worship God and learn His ways. So you have to spell it out plain and teach them and give them the basic understandings. And obviously plain here, as we just read in Deuteronomy. And David passed them along to his son Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2. He did the right thing. He obeyed that command and said, hey, I'm passing it on. You know, carry it forward, as they say, right? 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 1. Now the days of David drew close that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong thereof. Show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do where you turn yourself. So bravo for David to pass that along. And, you know, both of them are really types. Certainly the early reign of Solomon is a type of Christ. And, you know, the great things that he did early on in his reign in the kingdom and the blessings that they had. Well, let's take just a look at some of the specific statutes, some of the more detailed ones. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 9. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, and you know, that's the main thing, that's the bread and butter, right? For people back then, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You should not glean your vineyard, nor gather every grape from your vineyard, but you will leave them for the poor and the stranger, the foreigner, I am the Lord your God. So this is the specific statute that God cared about the poor. He cared also about the stranger, you know, the immigrant, cared very much about them. He said, listen, don't, you know, when you bring your crop in, don't bring it all in. Just don't do that. Leave some there. It reminds me of growing up in New Jersey. And it was always around the end of school that we had three cherry trees in our property, the sour cherries. And they were that's the time you pick them. And my father, you know, he's from the old country, went through the Depression. And his mindset was, you better pick every cherry. Not most of the cherries, but every cherry you better pick from that tree. And he meant it. And he also placed himself in danger. Like, there'd be some crazy places. I'd be like, Dad, don't do that. And he would position the ladder. And, like, he's going to kill himself. Because he had to get, you know, like five more cherries from that cherry tree. That was the mindset. Nothing goes to waste. That's a Depression mindset that we don't have, right? We didn't go through that. You know, I could have read the statute back. Hey, Dad, come on, you know, leave some for the birds and the squirrels, maybe, right? But the point, of course, here is very serious. Listen, leave some so the poor can come. That's a statute. Verse 11. Neither you shall not steal or deal falsely or lie to one another. Okay, that's the emphasis on the Ten Commandments, right? You shall not swear by my name falsely or profane the name of my God. I am the Lord. You will not defraud your neighbor or rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night to the morning. Wow, that's like, you know, when you hire somebody and they work hard and it's time for payday, you're like, hey, I'll come back tomorrow. I'll come back next week. Or, you know, the check's in the mail, right? And the check is not in the mail. And God's like, you don't do that. You know, you pay them. You don't play games with that. They've done their work. You pay them their fair wage. Verse 14, you shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. So there should be equity and fairness when you make decisions. You know, that would be nice for that statute to be applied today, where, let's face it, you know, you got a lot of money, you hire a great lawyer, and they can help you get off, you know, the where someone else that can't afford that kind of expertise loses the case. That's not fairness. That's inequity. But the judgment says, listen, it's got to be, you know, you got to do it the right way in fairness. Verse 16, you shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. It's just spreading false news, right? Fake news. Right? We have to be very careful. You know, things that we might hear on TV or read on the internet. We have to be real careful to pass that along. Are you really sure that is true? Or is it, did someone play games, right? You have to be very careful of that. That's a statute. You should not do that. Let's see. Verse 19. Okay, that's enough for that. Let's go to verse 31. Verse 31. Don't regard them that have familiar spirits. Don't seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You know, you shouldn't go to a palm reader, right? Like, that's, come on, you know, that's not God's way. We shouldn't be doing that. You shall rise up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man. And fear your God, I am the Lord. You shall rise up. I'm surprised everyone didn't stand up when I got up here to speak. I mean, come on, you know. Bad joke. Good joke. What's it talking about? Is respect. Respect for the elderly. Sad to say, many are, you know, pushed to the side. You know, they're... You know, people that have the loud voices and you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Sometimes people, there's no spokesman for the poor and the elderly. You know, they need help. And the statute says, listen, they should have a lot of respect, a lot of respect. All part of the statutes. Let's go to Exodus 22. We have some more there. Exodus 22. We have this in Exodus 22, verse 1, if a man steals an ox and a sheep and kills it or sells it, well, he's going to have to restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. There was a principle here, like, that's terrible. Stealing is terrible. If you're found out to do that, you're going to have to actually give back more, you know, than you stole. That's a statute. Verse 5, if a man cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and he shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and the best of his own vineyard, he will make restitution. So you have to take care of, you know, in this case, your livestock. And like, they're wandering into the neighbor's field. Okay, great, they're going to eat over there. They won't eat my stuff. This is beautiful, right? Well, you're stealing from your neighbor. That's a form of theft. And this is, again, a very specific thing to an agricultural people that had animals and things like that. You can apply this principle as well. You know, defrauding other people, taking advantage of other people. We have to think of not just a literal application, but the spirit of the law that most likely is there. Let's see. Verse 22, same chapter, Exodus 22:22. You will not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict them in any wise, and they cry to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot. I will kill you with the sword, and your wives will be widows, and your children orphans. So, you know, the disadvantage, the disenfranchised, God really cares about that segment of society, and he had specific judgments, statutes, I should say, for that. It says, it continues, if anyone lends money to any of the people that is poor by you, well, you shouldn't, you know, wow, boy, there's a chance to make 20% on my loan, right? A loan, but I want, you know, 15, 20, 25%. And God's like, no, you shouldn't charge them interest. That's not the way to go. You know, help them out. Help them out. That is a statute. That is a statute. If you take your neighbor's clothing, verse 26, to pledge, you'll deliver it to him when the sun goes down. For that's his covering. It's his raiment for his skin. Where is he going to sleep? Right? It's like, maybe technically they didn't, you know, you took that as collateral, right? Their winter coat. And they didn't pay you back on time. And you said, give me back the coat. Yeah, but it's 20 degrees below out there. Not too bad. We had an agreement, didn't we? Give me back the jacket. Is that a right way of thinking about it? No, that's wrong. You know, that's being literal. It'd be like, listen, this is necessary for their being. You know, they need this. Like someone kicking someone out of the home, out of, you know, children, you kick them out in the winter because they're behind in payment. I would say in principle, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to work something out. But just to do that and say, well, it's a letter of the law, I would say that's not applying this particular judgment. So those, you know, things that we need to think about. Let's go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. This is an interesting application. Paul is speaking to the Sanhedrin here. Acts 23. And verse 2, the high priest Ananias commanded them to by him to to slap him in the face, in the mouth. And Paul said, well, God's gonna smite you, you whited wall. Ooh, what an insult. For you said to judge me after the law, and you command me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, hey, are you reviling God's high priest, Paul? And what did Paul say? He said, ooh, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people. Wow, that's a statue. And it was kind of thrown back at Paul. And now Paul didn't know it was a high priest, but he apologized. He basically apologized. And a statute was quoted. This is Paul. You know, this is now a new covenant, right? New Testament times. And Paul said, that's correct. I'm sorry, because that I should not have done that. Why? Because it is a statute. Because it is a statute. Very interesting. Okay, just Exodus 21. What are some of the statutes that we can't employ today? Let's go through some examples here. Exodus 21, Exodus chapter 21. We talked about sacrifices and the priesthood and things related to that, right? But Exodus 21, verse 12. It says, he that smites a man, well, he should die. He should be put to death. Well, does the Church of God administer the death penalty, right? You're from Cincinnati. Yeah, they put a guy to death, did something wrong. And that's in, the update, that we get. you don't see that, right? If a man smites his father or his mother, verse 15, well, he shall be put to death. Well, does the Church of God get involved in something like that? The answer is no. The Church is not a nation, is not a theocracy, a nation that is under God in terms of literally, having communities and laws and things like that. The laws are administered by the nation that you live in. That's not the Church of God's responsibility to take care of things like that. That was for ancient Israel, which functioned as a state. And that's something that we don't do. We don't get involved in. Let's see. And again, we see verse 23, if there's any mischief, give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, right? Stripe for stripe. That literally wasn't done. Eyes were not poked out. There's no instances that it was the principle of equity, like the punishment should fit the crime. That was a principle statute for ancient Israel. So those are just a couple. There's others. There's laws of debt. After every 7 years, your debt is relieved. Well, you can't go to the bank and say, hey, boy, that's it. I owe you $100,000 on my mortgage, but it's the seventh year, so I'm forgiven, right? Go tell that to Webster Bank or whatever bank you bank at. Well, that does not apply. Again, we're not part of a nation, and we have to abide by the laws of this nation. So, brethren, when we think of God's law, what should come to our mind? Well, first, that the law is based on love to God first and then to our fellow man. We would then think of the Ten Commandments, right? Those ten big commandments, the literal and the expansion of the Ten Commandments as Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount. Have we clearly seen today? I hope we've clearly seen. We would add the statutes, many of the statutes. They are part of the law of God. They were taught to ancient Israel. We saw in some very specific instances they were followed by the church. Paul's like, hey, you're right. That statute is correct. I am sorry. I apologize. The statutes are, they're right and good. You know, they're not a burden for Israel. A lot of people would say all the laws were just a burden. You know, God just was cursing them with the law. No, the law was good. You know, it protected people. It made for good community relations, good neighbor relations. The law was good, statutes good and right. And it was given to Israel was to be a model nation to others. Final scripture, Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And verses 12 and 13. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Certainly Jesus completely reiterated that. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. So brethren, we should look at them, read about them, think about them. We're going to be teaching the statutes in the millennium. And again, when we go through them, sure, you know, wow, sacrifices, Christ superseded that, right? So you know, some things cannot be kept, like the debt laws and things like that. However, there are scores of statutes that we can and we should keep today, if not in the letter, certainly in the principle. God's law is wonderful and true. The law of love towards God and fellow man as detailed in the Ten Commandments and all the statutes.